Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Mark chapter 4. Let's pray and believe God for the right words this morning. Lord, we love you. You said the truth would set us free, so we could say that the lack of the truth would keep us in bondage. So this is a highlight of our week because it's freedom time. It's time to be set free from wrong thoughts, from maybe wrong actions, from wrong ideas, from the enemy's plans and purposes against us. But we're not going to be in the ignorant crew. We're going to be in the know, and we're not going to be in bondage. We're going to be set free. You said people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, we're going to get knowledge and not be destroyed. So we thank you for it, Master. We love you this morning. Father, there are a lot of different people here with different needs represented, different circumstances, different situations in their lives. And Father, you know what everybody needs to hear this morning. I sure don't. So Lord, we're asking for utterance. You said that's something we can ask for. So I'm asking you for utterance this morning. And Lord, when I ask according to your will, you hear me. And if I know you hear me, I know I have. So I thank you for the utterance that we're about to get. I thank you that things will come out of my mouth that will hit bullseyes in people's hearts and strike chords with them and be exactly what they need to hear. And Father, we'll walk out of here changed. We're not playing church this morning. We're here for a supernatural encounter with you. And so we thank you that happens through the preaching, teaching of the Word. Father, if you want to do anything else, any ministry, anything you want to do, Father, be God. We'll just be obedient to that. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Mark 4 and verse 16 says, and these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground. Talk about the word being sown to people. Talk about a group of people. It says, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and they endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution, or you could say it this way, trials, arise for the word's sake, we see why they arise, immediately they are offended. One translation says that when the tests and trials come, it causes them to fall away. Well, there's a principle that we need to learn, that we need to be familiar with, that we need to be in the know about, or it can cause people to stumble, fall, and fall away. And the word says here that trials and tests and persecutions will pop up or arise in your life for a purpose. For what? The word's sake. When I was praying, what was I praying about? Knowledge. If you know the truth, it'll set you free. If you don't know the truth, the Bible says you'll be destroyed. And so, where does our knowledge come from? The Word.
Amen.
If the devil knows that if he can steal the Word from your life, he can steal knowledge, ignorance can set back in, he can then enact a plan of destruction. Because if you know the truth, it'll set you free. It's not enough that there's a truth, there has to be a known truth.
Amen.
And so we see that it comes for the Word's sake, because when tests and trials come, and the pressure and the fire gets turned up on people, it can cause people that are not good ground, that are not aware, to back off the things of God and to go in a different direction or fall away, and that's exactly what the devil would want.
Yeah. Right.
And as a church, as your pastor, you're going to go as your pastor goes, and I'm not going backwards, and I'm not staying neutral.
Amen.
I am charging forward into the things of God and into more. And I'm bringing y'all with me if you want to come. And this church as a church is going forward in the things of God. Well, we're increasing. Families are increasing. Marriages are increasing. Children are increasing. Finances are increasing. Businesses are increasing. Well, it's not going to come without opposition. It's not going to come without somebody trying to stand there and keep you out of that. I... 2 years ago when we started Olean, it was like hell on earth broke out for me personally. A lot of stuff I didn't even share with her. Doesn't even know things that attacks that came on my life. Why? I knew we were moving into more,
right.
Moving into a greater sphere of influence, and just hell broke loose in my life personally, for me in my mind, and different things, and just went through. Well, what was happening was trying to get me to back off the things of God, because before I was moving into those things, those tests and trials were not present.
Right.
But had I given into those things, the glory that we've seen in Olean would not have taken place.
Right. Amen.
Had two more new people there last night.
It's,
yeah, things are happening there. And so there's a principle that we need to learn. Now, I want to make this disclaimer before we go forward. Because we can see that tests and trials are normal.
That's right.
And basically, what the principle that I'm going to bring out today is that you can be doing everything right and have absolute hell on earth in your life. But you're smack dab in the center of the will of God. And if you don't recognize that because a lot of times when people are doing things right and things are going wrong, they start to question themselves. What am I doing wrong? And they start to beat themselves up. They start to condemn themselves. Condemnation is not faith. Condemnation is not of God, and it will rob from you. And so it's important that we get this principle. But this is what I want to make the disclaimer of. And this is where it might maybe get a little uncomfortable, but it needs to be said, because some people go through life with their head in the clouds. And I don't know if they're purposely doing it, or if they're ignorantly doing it, or they just would rather just not know some things. But let me just say it this way. Yes, you can be in the perfect will of God and having hell break loose in your life. But yes, you can have hell break loose in your life and it be your doing.
Yes.
And it's important that I say that, because the wages of sin is death. The payment or the reaping for a life of sin is unpleasant things. Not from God, but that's the way it is. And all sin is a heavy word, right? Maybe in your mind, when you hear the word sin, you go to certain types of sin immediately you think of. But all sin really is disobedience of God. All sin falls into the category of disobedience to God. Any sin you can think of just falls into disobedience of the Word or disobedience of God. So when I say sin, and now I'm going to maybe have some subcategories of sin, everything that I'm going to say could just be chalked back up to disobedience of God.
Sure.
But I need to point some things out. If you're somebody, now again, we're not talking, because nobody's perfect, we're not talking about when you slip up, you repent and get back into God. We're talking about a consistent lifestyle of disobedience. If you're somebody who is a constant complainer, a constant doubter in your words, always talking about how you're not going to have enough, always grumbling and griping, don't expect the blessings of God in your life. That's foolish. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, what you sow, you'll reap. If you're sowing doubt and unbelief, you can't expect faith victories in your life. Because I want to make sure, because when we look at what we're going through in tests and trials that come up, if we are knowingly doing things, don't just chalk it up. Well, because people have said this to me, and I want to say to them, you are wrong about that. They'll say, oh, something good must be coming my way. I'm going through hell on earth. No, you're going through hell on earth because you're causing it. Some people don't even need the devil in their life. They're doing a good enough job themselves. And that's not what we're trying to bring out today, but it's important that you can't expect good things and the blessings to come with a consistent lifestyle of disobedience. You're mocking God to expect that to happen. If you're somebody that backbites and talks bad about people behind their back, and is evil towards people, it doesn't walk in love, is a cruel person, don't ever expect things to work out for you when you don't walk in love. Your faith won't work. I love when Pastor Nancy was preaching on a financial series, Pastor Nancy DeFrank, and Lord said, no, you need to back up. You're teaching all these principles about how to prosper. The first principle is you better walk in love if you want your finances to be good. Absolutely. So if you're someone that doesn't walk in love and all hell's breaking loose, don't you dare stand there and say, oh, something good's coming my way because I'm being tested. No. You're going through hell because you're bringing it in. If you're somebody that's not faithful, To be in your appointments, to hear, to be faithful to the things of God. When tests and trials come, don't be, well, I'm in God's will here. No, no, no. Fix the stuff first. I make that disclaimer because I can't tell how many times people have said that to me. Unfaithful people living in sin constantly, and things just keep being reaped because the Bible says, but they're saying, oh, I'm right smack dab in God's will. No, you're not. God's will is not that sin. And again, we're not talking about when you mess up and screw up and you repent. We're talking about continual lifestyle of this. No change. So we need to point that out because there is suffering by because you're a Christian doing everything right, but there's suffering because you're not doing things right. But the good thing about it is if you have a relationship with God and you're in His presence and you're seeking Him, those things that you're doing wrong, I would dare to say most of us know the things we're doing wrong. If you know a lick about the Word and have any sense at all about you, of what your heart is telling you. Now, some people have done things wrong so long that a callus forms and maybe they don't feel it. But the Word, when the Word's pointed out, it shows you again to change. And so I would believe that if we were really sincere and if we're missing God and we really want to hear from God, He'll show us. Because He loves us and He knows the things we're doing wrong are hurting us. So when Caleb and Abby do things that aren't going to help them, I don't just keep letting them go do them to walk into trouble or harm them. I point that out and say, that's wrong. Right. You're going wrong. That's dangerous. Don't do that. Right. I let them know so they can stop. Oh, I'm just going to let them trip and stumble and fall. God's not like that.
That's right.
But God's not going to bang down the walls of your life to get those answers to you either. Yeah. He's the still small voice, the Bible says. If your life's filled with chaos and hectic and you never spend any time with Him and you never get quiet, it's going to be hard to hear His voice. But I have to point that out because there's a truth there that the wages of sin are death. And sometimes people, again, I don't understand it. I don't understand how somebody who's, now again, I miss it and I stumble and I do things that are against the Word and my thoughts, my actions and my words at times. And I'm quick to repent and change that thing.
Amen.
And always, my heart is always tender and open. God, if there's something needs to be corrected, please correct me. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. But there's people, I'm just amazed. Their life is opposite of what the Bible looks like. And they're wondering and they're mocking God when they're doing it. Why is this happening to me? Oh, I must be in line for something wonderful. Well, not if you don't change. So it's important to see that, okay? And so, you know, just do a quick, simple heart test. Does my life look like the Word? Am I obeying what God has said? Am I walking in love? Am I doing what I'm supposed to with my finances? Am I in my appointments? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I faithful to do what I'm supposed to do? It's really not hard. It's really not hard, praise God. Jesus made it simple. And so it's important to see that. So this is not an excuse to keep doing wrong or to do wrong and not change and just say, well, tests and trials come just because I'm a Christian. No. See, because when those tests and trials come, if there's no repentance from things that you did wrong, if there's no repentance and acknowledgement of wrong and the change, the help won't come. But see, when you realize, yeah, you know, I don't walk in love. I do complain a lot. You know what? I have not been faithful in my tithe. You know what? I've been very unfaithful to come to church. I've been very fill in the blank, whatever. And then you repent for that. Well, maybe those things that you've done have put you in a bad position. But see, now God looks at you in a bad position, but because you've repented, He doesn't know why you're in that position. Because He said, I'll forget.
Yeah.
He's like, I see them there, but I can't remember why they're there. But I just know I got to help them because they're my child. But if you're in a place where you're continuing to do wrong and doing wrong, God can't trump His Word and stop the reaping of death if you're going to keep sowing it. That would be a violation. But if you acknowledge it and repent, it's over with. And even if you put yourself in that position, God looks and says, I don't know how they're there. I just know they're there. It's time to get them out.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. And so I want to show you some things here in the Word. Go to Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. And the reason for this is as we increase, as we go to more, you know, people are really stepping it up in this church. And I'm so proud of people and so grateful that people are taking the Word of God seriously, that you need to be in your appointments, that you need to be faithful when you serve, that you need to be faithful in finances, that it affects your life, it affects the kingdom's business and different things. And people are starting to take God seriously around here. Well, that means when you do that, you're going to increase. But as you increase, the devil's going to say, oh, they're stepping it up. I need to try to push them back a couple notches. But when we realize this is part of the territory, it won't shake us, and we'll get out of that thing. But Exodus chapter 5, in verse 1, It says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Pharaoh had the, he was basically the slave master of the children of Israel. Went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now, Moses and Aaron are going in as the mouthpiece of God. They're going in and telling Pharaoh exactly what God has said. What did God say? Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go.
Yes.
That was the will of God. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Well, there it is, the will of God. Moses and Aaron going in and obeying. But let's find out what happens with the will of God. Heather, if you go to the Amplified, the Old Testament doesn't make the Amplified as long as the New Testament does, but it changes some of the words to make it easier to read. Can you go into verse 2? So let's look at what happened after he went and displayed what the will of God was. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Just keep going as I'm done with the verse. That would help me. Thank you. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray you, these 3 days. Journey into the desert and sacrifice the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. The king of Egypt said to Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their jobs? Get to your burdens. Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. Verse 6. The very same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers. Verse 7 here. It says, you shall no more give the people straw. Now, get this. Actually, I don't have the Amplified. I'm just going to keep reading it from there. You shall no more give the people straw to make brick. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. So what Pharaoh's now doing is the jobs that he had them doing, he's going to make them harder on them.
Yeah.
Verse 8. But the number of the bricks which they made before, you shall still require them. He's saying, you are no longer going to have this material that's helped you make these bricks. I'm now taking them away, but your quota is not changing.
Right.
And if you study anything, when they didn't meet their quota, it was not good for them. They'd be starved, they'd be beaten. You shall not diminish it in the least, for they are idle. That is when they cry, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let heavier... work be laid upon the men that they may labor at it and pay no attention to lying words. The taskmasters of the people went out and their officers and they said to the people, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get straw where you can find it, but your work shall not be diminished in the least. I'm not cutting back your work. So the people were scattered throughout the land of Egypt to gather the short stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters were urgent, saying, finish your work, your daily quotas, as when there was straw, just on them, hard, you know, whipping them. Doing terrible things to them. All because, let my people go. And it fired Pharaoh up. And the Hebrew, see, when God starts to moving, the devil starts to moving. And when God starts to doing something big that's going to cause deliverance, cause rescue, and cause blessing, oh, it makes the devil nervous. And he starts to scheme and to plan because that's the last thing he wants. So when you realize that, when the test of trial, it fires you up. Because, oh, the devil's stirring up problems in my finances. The devil's stirring up problems in my body. Must be scared of what's up ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Hebrew foremen, whom the Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled all your quota of making bricks yesterday and today as of before? Then the Hebrew foreman came to Pharaoh and cried, why do you deal like this with your servants? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say unto us, make bricks. And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But Pharaoh said, you are idle, lazy and idle. That is why he said, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. That's good enough for right now. Praise God. So we see here that when, and it kept getting worse, the will of God took place, let my people go, it stirred the devil up. And the devil made things harder for the people to get to where they were supposed to go. Amen?
Amen.
I remember I got born again when I was 23 years old. When I was 24, the Lord had spoken to me months before about going to Rhema. And I went to Rhema for Winter Bible Seminar in February. I was 24 at the time. But the Spirit of God said, you're not here for a week. You're here to go to school. And so I went back in August, and I packed up my 1990 Nissan pickup truck full of holes and rust, packed so full I didn't have use of all my mirrors, because I just went. I didn't know anybody where I was going. My family would not give me any money. I had a little bit of money to get there and to get an apartment, And then I had to get a job right away. I didn't have enough for tuition. I didn't have enough for the tuition that started in September. I didn't have enough to get past the second month of rent. Had barely enough food to put in my cupboards. Lived off spaghetti and ramen noodles for a little while. Praise the Lord. And but I packed up and I went. And on the way there, I took a napkin and I covered it over not the dashboard, but whatever, where the speedometer and all that is, and the part where it tells you how hot the truck is. Because I couldn't for the life of me figure out how this truck's going to make it to Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was a piece of junk. Yeah. Did it? What did Pastor Tim used to call it? It wasn't flattering. I'll tell you, one time I threw a snowball at it. You'd have thought that I was a superhero. The thing went right through the metal. Not because I can throw fast. That's how bad it was. So I covered that up because I didn't want to keep seeing the temperature gauge because that would have messed with my head. And I just kept saying the whole time, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. The truck's going to get there. The truck's going to get there. And it did. It got there. But so I left, and I'll get back to that. But I want to mention this because this has popped up in my spirit. First of all, before I say this, let me put this disclaimer out there because it could come off as boasting, and it's not. I want to show you that it's not. You know, if I go out and grill a hamburger on my grill and you have a spatula to flip the burgers, and I come running inside and I say, I'm the grill master. I am the griller of all grillers. I didn't take my hand and slide it under that patty and flip it. I used the spatula. How wonderful am I? It's common sense to not use your hand, right? So what I'm going to tell you is common sense. But people have said to me, Pastor, you're so blessed. Your life is so blessed. I met comments to me all the time. I appreciate hearing that. It's better than the opposite. Amen. And they're right. It's true. I am. Yep. Every day when I walk my dogs, I tell the Lord, I say, Father, I'm not just saying this to sound good. I really believe this, that I am the most blessed human being on the face of the planet. I am so thankful for what I have. I wouldn't want to trade my life with anybody.
Praise God.
I mean that. And people say that to me, and things always work out for me. Things always turn around for me. But this is what I'll say about that. And this is where, because it's all God's doing, is what I'm.
That's right.
But here's what I'll say about that. The one thing I know about myself, the one thing I know that I see is separate from a lot of people that I know, I will do anything God tells me to do.
Amen.
I will do anything God tells me to do. I don't care how much it costs. I don't know how far it is to go. I don't care how hard it makes it look in my life. Anything he says, yes, sir, I won't argue with it.
Amen.
Now, because of that obedience and faithfulness, the blessings have come. Now, that's not me boasting, because to me, as much as common sense is not to use your hand to flip a burger, it's common sense to obey the voice of God.
Amen.
That how silly is it to me in my thinking that whatever's in the Word or whatever He would speak to you, how ridiculous it would be to not do it. So when I say those blessings have come from obedience, I'm not bragging about my obedience, because to me it's just as common sense as flipping a burger with a spatula, not your hand.
That's good.
Why wouldn't you do what God has said to do? Why wouldn't you obey the voice of God? He's told me to give offerings before that have made my mind spin, and I mean, told me, I mean, we went for a while supporting the whole church and putting everything we had on a credit card to keep the thing going. And I was glad to do it, praise God. When he told me to start the church over there when we had a baby in her belly and you need money for a baby, he said, quit your job and start a church in a little town in South Dayton with no hope of a paycheck until the church grows and all the bills are paid, then you get a little bit. Yes, sir, we'll do it. When he told me, when we finally started to get out of debt a little bit and got paid, and he told my wife, quit the good job that you had that carried us for years. Okay, no argument, we'll do it. When he says pack up and go to a foreign land, Tulsa, Oklahoma, might have well been China.
Yeah.
I knew nobody. Didn't know anybody there. I had no money. But God said it.
Yeah.
That's common sense to me. You do it. Yeah. But because I've done that, the blessings have followed me. As far as I know in my life, there's nothing that I'm doing right now that's not His will. As far as I know. Now, if I'm wrong, Lord, you point it out, I'll change it. As far as I know, there's nothing in my life that I would not do for him. But see, most people can't say that. Let's be honest, right? Now, again, I think it's common sense that everyone should be able to say it, but most people cannot say, whatever he wants, I'll do it. Whatever he says, I'll do it. Whatever. Why? Because people can't be faithful to come to church regularly. And they want heaven and earth to be moved from? Come on, that's the least. The Bible says if you can't be faithful in the least, how will you be trusted in the much? If you can't even be faithful to come when he's given you your visitation, how are you expecting him to hang the moon in your life? Don't expect it. So I'm here as an example to tell people that's just what that's where I've modeled my life since I was driving to the general store in Falconer, and I was sick of the way my life was going, and I was born again, nothing was working out. And I said, Father, fine, I'll go to China, I'll go to Africa, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then he spoke to me, go to Rhema, which is basically China Junior. Africa Junior. It's like a foreign land down there. I don't even know why you really want to go there. Unless God told you to. But I just, yes, sir, I'll do it. Whatever you want, Lord. If the Lord told me right now, give your church to somebody else, become a cleaner here and just clean the toilets and be an usher. Yes, sir, I'll do it. I'll do it with a smile. And I'll be just as happy, as excited every Sunday as I am.
Amen.
Yeah, if you said, go, I want you to quit this church, give your church to somebody else. You be the parking lot attendant in this church. Yes, sir, where's my orange vest? I'll do it. And I'll do it with a smile. I mean it. And I'll be so happy to serve him. But most people can't say that. Most people have their stuff. Most people have their things. I didn't hang on to my music. I didn't hang on to the world. I didn't hang on to all the stuff. Just whatever for you, Father. But most people cannot say that. And so then they don't have that. So I would just encourage you, just be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word in your life. And so I went to Rhema. God's will. He spoke that to me. I heard that in a service audibly. I mean, I was in a salvation call, my pastor's service, sitting in one of the first four rows, I believe, at that time. And he said, bow your heads and close your eyes. And I heard out loud with my ears, go to Rhema. Now, I believe the Lord did that something so dramatic because of all the stuff that was going to come up ahead. Well, I did. I obeyed him, and I went. And when I went to Rhema, I was in the perfect will of God for my life for one of the first times. There was so much fear and doubt in my head, but so much peace in my heart. But when I got there, oh, did hell get unleashed on me. The depression set in, like, I mean, I laid on my mattress in between my classes and work and cried and cried and cried. I wanted to go home. I didn't know anybody. My truck broke down early on when I was there. The whole underneath of it rusted out. Every fluid was leaking and things like that. Every fluid was leaking and all the different things were going wrong with it. Didn't have the money to do that. I've been, two times in my life I've been the sickest I've ever been. One of them was when I went to Rhema. Here I'm at Kenneth Hagin's Faith Bible School, and I'm missing 2 weeks of classes because I came down with some ear thing, nose thing, throat thing, and respiratory thing all at once, and it demolished me to the point where I had a walk-in closet there that was pretty big at the apartment that I had, but it didn't have any windows. I dragged my mattress in there, shut the door, and stayed in there for 2 weeks in the pitch black, just miserable. I lost so much weight, I got home, and people that picked me up at the airport said, you're barely recognizable. It was awful. Here, breath stuff, just respiratory things for so long that lingered after that. And here I was doing what God told me to do. Now see, most people would probably think, I was a lot better off when I didn't do what God said to do. But see, if I did not do that, there's no me here right now. There's no him, there's no her, and there's no her in the nursery. There's no Orion. All the things that have come from obeying God, all the things I learned and all the blessings. Well, what was it? The devil turning up the heat on me. Be expecting when you're doing it God's way. How about the fact that here we quit with no job, we paid off $60,000 worth of debt on basically one salary in 2 years, supernaturally. I finally start to get a little bit of money, which it's just so you know it's biblical that I get paid.
Yeah.
It's important that you know that the Bible says that the ox that treads out the corn should not be muzzled. Like, the Bible says they that preach the word should live by the word. It's a biblical thing that the more I'm blessed, the better the church will be. It's just the way it is in the Bible. Now that's not me. Nobody in here is responsible for setting my pay or anything, so I'm not putting that in your ear. I'm just telling you the truth. It's a right that I get paid.
Amen.
A lot of churches are doing it wrong and they muzzle the ox. And they keep their pastor far beneath and they don't understand they're doing that church a disservice.
Right.
It's right thing that Paul said, they that preach by the gospel should live off of it. Well, that wasn't happening at first. And so finally, we started to, after the bills were paid, we started getting a little bit. And we started to pay off our debt and got into a better place. And then God says, tell her to quit her job. So we did. And she had an awesome job. Went to school for it, got a college degree, and pretty much in Jamestown had the highest for her what she could do. Was at the top of what she could do in Jamestown, unless she got into a totally different field. And when we did that, it was like, when we committed to doing that, it was like a month later, I'm fighting for my life in a hospital bed. My appendix blew up. After 3 days of a ruptured appendix, the poison had set in, and I shouldn't have been alive. Oh, she just quit her job, no insurance anymore. And I was just about to get insurance a month later from the church. Just about to step into that. And so there we are, and I remember being groggy and coming out of that thing, and that was what I was thinking about. So this would be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And she said, we're not going to pay a penny of this. She shut me up, which was smart. Sometimes some of you spouses need to shut the other one up. In a loving way. When they're not talking faith, it's, oh, ladies, listen, yes, the Bible says to be submissive, but submissive doesn't mean a doormat.
Right.
If your husbands are talking doubt and unbelief, it's okay to say, don't talk like that.
That's good.
Don't bring that into our lives.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah, absolutely. Same for husbands. But, you know, there's a loving way to do things, too. So many times people are just so sharp towards each other that it doesn't work. Being sharp never gets you anywhere. It's a soft words, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so here I am in the exact will of God, and my appendix does that. I'm fighting for my life. Two times that I'm in God's perfect will, I'm the sickest I've ever been before. I'm possibly, potentially, because at the time when you're $40,000, the brokest I've ever been at Rhema and when those things happen. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. Praise God.
Amen.
Daniel 3 and verse 1. Because the Bible says if you don't recognize this, you'll fall away. You'll get offended at the tests and trials. I talked about last night. It's kind of a little bit along the same lines of what I shared last night. You have two choices when tests and trials come. You can be discouraged or you can get determined.
That's right. Amen.
You have a choice.
That's good, yeah.
When the children of Israel were told they had something from God, a promised land, that was a cause for celebration because they had just come out of slavery. And now God said, I have your own place where you're not slaves anymore that you can call your own. So that was cause for salvation. Well, they went into the land, right? And what happened? They found out there's roadblocks. There's tests and trials there. Well, a group of 12 saw the same thing. 10 of them got discouraged and 2 of them got more determined than ever before. They saw the same thing. They experienced the same thing. So you have a choice to be discouraged when things happen or to realize what is going on. I'm following God here and things are not working out. Things are getting harder. What is the devil trying to keep me from? You have a choice to either become more determined or discouraged.
That's right.
Daniel 3 and verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it upon in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, then the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. He made an idol. And he's going to dedicate it. You know, there was a lot of idol worship back then. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the rulers of all the provinces were gathered together in the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud to you as commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time that you hear the sound, so he's saying, all these people are getting, when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, wow, and the sackbut, you know, what's funny about that verse today is I almost traded my guitar this morning for the sackbut. I was close, I was tuning it in my office, the sackbut, and I thought, you know, this might throw them. And we want our hearts to be on God, not the sackbut. And so I decided to go with the guitar. But it's just funny that it worked out on the very day that I was going to play my sackbut. We read about the sackbut. That's God right there.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music. He says, when you hear this, you will fall down and worship The golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So everybody's gathered, and they're making a decree. When you hear all these instruments, including the sackbut, you will fall down and worship this image. And whosoever falleth not down and worship the same shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. She's saying, if you don't do this, you're gonna be toast. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all the kinds of music, and all the people in the nations and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Wherefore, at that certain time, the Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, has made a decree that every man shall hear that all those instruments, I'm not going to read them again, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever falls down not and worships, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So we got some tattletales here. So there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said there's three guys. These men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. So apparently someone caught wind of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and when that music would be played, they didn't fall down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they be brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time you hear those instruments, you shall fall down and worship the image I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast to the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from out of thy hand, O king. But if it not be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image you have set up. But what is one of the commandments? You shall not worship any god.
That's right.
So by not worshiping the decree of the king, were they in the will of God? Absolutely. They weren't in the will of the king, but they were in the will of their God. They were doing exactly what they should be doing as people of God.
That's right.
Not worshiping this image, but worshiping God. What verse are we at? 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed, or his appearance, against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded them that they should heat. Now listen to this. Heat the furnace 1 7 times. He's basically saying, heat it up 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you get thrown into a fiery furnace 7 times lesser than it's ever been heated, you're going to be toast.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting how the devil, when the devil's involved, he's going to keep turning it up, turning it up, turning it up, turning it up. 7 times hotter. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. That these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments. And they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they got thrown in. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire was so hot that the ones that threw them in were toast. You ever been around a grill? It's so hot, you know, you feel the effect. They got killed. That's how hot it was. And it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, oh, here we go, verse 23. And the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men? This is awesome.
Yeah.
He said, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said, king, it's true.
Yeah.
Well, how many is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Three. How many did they cast in? Three. He's shocked. He's saying, I thought we cast in three. He answered and said, what's up with this? That's the Pastor Mike Anderson translation. What's up with this? I see four men loose. I thought we cast three in the fire. I see four.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I just got chills.
Yeah.
Ooh. I see them walking in the midst of the fire.
Wow.
In his will, in the fire, not being touched.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth one is the Son of God. Ooh, I need a blanket or something. I'm getting cold and toasty. Jesus Christ Himself was in the fire with them. And it didn't touch them. If Jesus Christ was in the fire with them, guess who Jesus Christ will be in the fire with? You! Glory to God. And they were spared. And they were astonished. Four men. Three went in. Four ended up being in there. Praise God. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Now, I might. Yea, though I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because there's a fourth one with me. Because you are with me. See, the awesome thing about when you're going through a test and trial, that is, because you're doing everything right, is you got Him on your side. Now again, you don't have Him on your side when you keep messing it up and you're refusing to change that because the reaping of it, He can't violate that. When you ask for forgiveness, He'll come in and help you like we talked about. But when you can know and have confidence, I'm doing everything right. The devil's scared. It's getting hotter. It's getting harder because there's something so glorious on the other side. What about Daniel? We won't read it for time's sake, so we get ready to close. Same thing with Daniel, right? Daniel, do this. Daniel said, I'm not doing that. It's wrong. Okay, we're going to throw you into a den of lions.
Right.
And those lions became little kitty cats. Just at the side of him, just petting them and purring against him and stuff. Praise God. What about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? Paul had a vision. Go over to Macedonia. So he did. He goes over to Macedonia, casts the devil out of a girl, sets her free, ends up in prison, naked and beaten. Perfect will of God. Daniel, perfect will of God, finds himself in a den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, perfect will of God, found themselves in the midst of a fiery furnace. Children of Israel, let my people go, found themselves in the worst, being set back 10 paces. Absolutely. Paul and Silas, naked in prison. My goodness gracious. The will of God, 1 Peter 4:12. The principle that you need to learn today is that you can be doing everything right. And then you might think to yourself, well, why would I want to do everything right? Because, see, the trade-off, what the devil will tell you, oh, for example, like Oleander, when I've increased in spiritual things, some of the greatest attacks have come when I'm going to experience spiritual blessings. And the thought will come to you, well, you know, it wasn't like this when I was pressing in. It wasn't like this when I started to, maybe you started to get faithful in church and things started happening. You say, well, this didn't happen. Or maybe your finances took a hit or your body took a hit or something. You say, this all of a sudden seems to coincide with me getting faithful. Yeah. You have to understand that's a principle. Because the thought will be from the devil, will give you is, well, it was better when it wasn't like this. It'd be better to go back that way. But see, if you do that, then you'll never get to experience the greater glory that's on the other side of that hell that's in your way trying to keep you out of it. It's just the truth.
Good word.
It's just the truth. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't be surprised. Listen, if you can all say, yes, Pastor Mike, I sign up for greater glory. I sign up for greater measure of prosperity. Yes, Pastor Mike, I sign up for a greater measure of spiritual blessing. If we could all say, I want that. I want to go from glory to glory. I want to go to better to better.
Yeah.
Then you cannot sign up with that without opposition coming.
That's right. Yeah.
But when your head is right and you got God with you, and you know that when the opposition comes, you rest in the storm. What about the disciples? Jesus told them to get on a boat and they encountered the worst storm they ever encountered. They were in the perfect will of God. But what was Jesus doing in the perfect will of God in the midst of a storm? Resting.
Yeah.
Just resting. Knowing this storm will pass.
That's right.
This storm will pass.
That's right.
It's called seasons, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Amen.
Those things which are seen are temporal.
Yes.
And pass away.
Praise God.
Some of the things you were fussing and crying about a year ago, you don't even remember them now.
That's right.
But they were huge back then.
Yeah.
You don't even know what they were.
Yeah.
But yet it was a crisis. You had me on the main line. You don't even know. I don't even know. Right? And you're here. You're still here. Ladies and gentlemen, you're still here. Go like this. Everybody go like this. You're here. You're here. That means it's not over yet.
That's right.
So I'm in the midst of fire. So what? You're still here. Your heart's still thumping. You're still breathing. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's just halftime. Halftime, the game's not over. There's still a third and the fourth quarter to be played. Unless you're the Bills, the game's probably over at halftime, but you're not the Bills. You're different. You're better than them. But it's not over yet. You're still here. That means you still have a chance to put your best foot forward in faith and go with a determination like never before. That's why I said November 29th, 2015, it's a new day. And if you're in the fire because you put yourself there, well, then repent and just be in the fire. And God will say, I don't know why you're there. Let's just get you out. Or if you're in the fire because you're doing everything right, let's charge through that fire with determination and faith and spark and vigor. Right? Let's get fired up. So, what's waiting for me? I've told you this, and it's true. You are probably already the weird you think I am. If you just come to put a camera on me in my house for about a week, you will think I have lost my mind. I'm not kidding. When tests and trials come, I get so happy. I get so thrilled and excited because I know this means more for me. And we'll close with this, James chapter 1. Whew. We're fired up, aren't we? We're going
Amen.
Forward.
Amen.
And what do? We go forward with our words, right? The people that got discouraged in the book of Numbers, they used their words wrongly, but Caleb and Joshua said, we're going to overcome it. Whatever you're going through right now, you need to start saying, this will not be my life for forever. This poverty, this being in lack, this is not my life forever. There's coming a day of financial freedom for me. There's coming a day where I'm going to be able to be a blessing, where money's not going to be a problem. That thing on your body that is so real, you need to start saying, I'm going through this thing. Health awaits me. This pain's not going to be with me forever. This problem's not going to be with me forever. That's what faith will do. James 1 and verse 2 says, my brethren, say, Pastor, that's nuts, you get excited. No, I'm just biblical.
Right.
My brethren, count it joy. You know what joy is? Woo-hoo! Smiles and clapping and jumping and dancing. That's joy.
That's right.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation or various tests and trials. The Bible says, count it joy. You know how I can count it joy? Because I got a fourth one in the fire with me, and I know that the fire is temporary, and on the other side of the fire is something so glorious and something so wonderful. So, woohoo, trial comes, yeah, it's just a sign unto me, devil. See, I just turn it around and I tell the devil, you know, devil, how dumb you are, that when you cause things to rise up, all you're doing is telling me something great's coming.
That's right.
You're so stupid.
Yeah.
I tell him, yeah, just the dumbest thing. You need to start telling him he's just the dumbest thing.
Amen.
How dumb can you be to be in the presence of God and think you're going to overthrow him? That's what he did.
Right.
He was in God's presence. He saw God. He saw him.
Yeah.
He is the dumbest. Don't beat yourself up for what you do. You never did anything as dumb as him. Oh, he loves to hear it too. You talk about shutting his mouth. Because he's talking to you about how you'll never pay your bills, how I'll never be okay, how this. Talk back to him. You will burn in hell forever, devil. You will never have relief. You will never have comfort. You will be begging for a drop of water. You will be regretting everything you've ever done. You can never be redeemed. I can be redeemed for the dumb things I do. You can't. Oh, that quiets him down and he leaves.
Yeah.
He does. Because that's just the word. I'm just telling the word in my own words.
Yeah.
In my own translation and spin on things. And I'm not spinning it doctrinally, but I don't say it in King James.
Right.
Thouest shall burneth up in the fiery pit. I don't talk like that. I just say, bro, you're going to have a terrible time.
Yeah.
I just talk like that.
Sure.
It's not going to be. You tell me all you want, devil, but I know the word. The word says I'm going to better.
Yep.
So everything that looks real and hard right now, it's just fake. I'm going through it, and it's going to be better. And eventually, it's going to be toasty for you.
Yeah. Praise God.
It's going to be, I'll be around the campfire, and I'll say, oh, you think this is hot, devil? Every time I light my fire on my grill, I think about the fiery flames of hell, and I tell him, that's what you got waiting for you, buddy. Because
yeah.
He does enough talking to us. He's talked to us for so long and made us feel far below what we are and has lied to us and made us feel like we're never going to start telling Him the truth. Amen. Count it all joy. How can we count it joy? Because we have someone with us that's going to get us through it, and we know what's there on the other side is better.
Amen.
And stop it with, well, I put myself here. Well, repent and get out of it.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We're so grateful, so thankful. We're not staying neutral. We're going through the fire. We're walking through the valley. Well, the Bible doesn't say, yea, though I camp out in the valley, yea, though I build a house, yea, though I build my tent, yea, though I build a structure and retire and have my address changed to the valley of the shadow of death. No, yea, though I walk through it. Everybody say this. Say, I'm walking through it.
I'm walking through it.
Say, I'm walking through it.
I'm walking
Praise God. You need to start saying that by yourselves. I'm walking through this. I'm walking through this. I'm walking through this. I'm not staying here. This is not my permanent address. My permanent address is Abundant Life Lane. Praise God. Prosperity Palace. Glory to God. Healing Highway. That's where I live. That's my address. All those places. Praise the Lord. We love you, Father. We glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you for the word this morning. We're so blessed to hear it. So thankful for what you've given to us. Hallelujah. We thank you for Jesus this morning. We praise you for Jesus. We glorify you for Jesus, that he died for us. Oh, to help us to escape the pollution of the world, the trials, troubles the world throws at us, and give us hope through Jesus. If everybody would bow their heads and close their eyes, please, nobody looking around. If you've already done this, you never have to do it again. I don't care if you even had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. You just ask Him to forgive you. But if you've asked Jesus into your heart, you'll never have to do it again. He acknowledged you the first time, and He took up residency on the inside of your heart. But if you're here, and you could say, Pastor, I believe in Jesus, and I believe He died and rose again, but I'm not sure I've ever really accepted Him into my heart or given my life to Him. Well, the Bible says if you believe on Jesus, that's the first step, that you're qualified and a candidate, but the Bible says you have to receive Him. And by doing so, you escape hell and you gain heaven, but also you gain a Father here on this earth that's going to help you and bless you and guide you through some things and to some things. So if you're here and you can say, I don't think I've ever accepted Jesus. I've been to church, but that's not accepting Jesus. I've been a good person, but that's not accepting Jesus. And you want to receive Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass anybody. But would you just raise your hand if you've never accepted the Lord and you want to? Is there anybody in this service for the first time you want to accept Jesus that you've never done it before? You've never accepted the Lord? Anybody at all? Just raise your hand if you've never accepted the Lord. Anybody? Well, Lord, I don't see any hands, but it doesn't mean that maybe somebody wasn't shy or that somebody listening by live stream right now or in the future on the archives doesn't need to accept you. So I just encourage you, if you're here and you needed to raise your hand, but you didn't, it's not the raising of your hand that gets you saved. And I just encourage you, if you're listening and you want to receive Jesus, it's simple. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. And if you pray that prayer for the first time, let me know about it, and I'll get you some materials and also get you hooked up into the right place for your journey and new life with God. And one more thing, because so many times when people are in trials that they have, self-inflicted wounds sometimes are the hardest. But, you know, God doesn't want you to dwell around in that sadness and in that grief and in that pity and in that sorrow. No, the Bible says that godly sorrow leads you to repentance. But once you repent, the godly sorrow is gone. You're not supposed to feel bad about that stuff anymore. So maybe your finances aren't so good because of you. Maybe your life's not so good because of things you've done. Well, if that's the case, thank God the blood's bigger than your mistakes. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you can say, Pastor, I can honestly admit that I'm in a position that I'm in because of my own doing. I've been unfaithful. I haven't been faithful with my finance. I haven't walked in love. I haven't obeyed the word. We're going to give you an opportunity to repent. Is there anybody with heads bowed and eyes closed? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody? I see those hands. Praise God. I see those hands. This is a time of getting right. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? And you don't even have to raise your hand if you're embarrassed, but what that does is you're taking ownership of it by raising your hand. Again, you can repent without the raising of the hand. I don't want you to think you can't. But if you've done that, well, my God, let's get out of that guilt and condemnation. God's not holding you against you. The Bible says if you ask Him to forgive you, He cleanses you of all unrighteousness. That means that the test that you put yourself in, he just sees his child in pain. He just sees his child hurting, and he needs to rescue you. And now you can go forward in faith and not let that nasty devil tell you, well, you put yourself in. No, not anymore. That when you repent, it's over with. Anybody else that can say, yeah, that I want to get in on this. That's me, Pastor. I need to change some things. Anybody? Well, even if you didn't raise your hand, this is a good opportunity for us all to pray this prayer. So if you raised your hand or if you didn't, we're going to say a prayer. Everybody say this after me. Say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for the blood,
that cleanses me
from all unrighteousness.
You said in your word,
if I confess my faults
and my
sins,
that you would be faithful
and just
to forgive me
and to cleanse me
from
all unrighteousness.
And you said
that once you forgive me,
you'll remember
my sin
no more.
So Father,
in the name of
Jesus,
I repent of that thing.
I ask you to forgive me
of that thing.
Thank you
for forgiving me
and forgetting
it.
And now, Father,
I go forward
as if I never did it wrong,
because
you authorized
me
to do
so.
It is your
will
that I don't
hold my feet
to the fire
anymore.
I thank you
I'm free,
and I
thank you that this
test
that I'm
going through,
whether
self-inflicted
or not,
that
I'm going through
it.
I'm coming
out the other side,
and it's going to
be greater
and better
than ever
before.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're free
today. Glory to
God.
Well,
we'll see y'all
Wednesday night.
Have an awesome rest of the
weekend. You are
dismissed.